Happy Easter. We're still in Easter. This is of course the second Sunday within the octave of Easter, but that's not to be confused as different days. It's really one day, Easter Sunday, expanded for 8 days. Easter's too big. It doesn't fit in just one day. So we have Easter Sunday for 8 days. And this is the end of the octave. And it's 8 days, 8 days, because eight is a symbol for infinity, for eternity. So because of Easter, we now have a new reality. We've entered into eternal life. We can be with God now because the Son has took on human nature and died and risen and conquered sin and death. And we've been baptized. We're now in Him, in the Son. We can enjoy this now. And this is what Easter is about. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go through a meditation by a French priest called The Peace That Comes from the Forgiveness of Sins. And I'll give some commentary as I go through. But I think this meditation can really summarize for us what Easter is. What Easter is. What the death and resurrection of Jesus is. What it does for us. And we heard here in this gospel, Jesus coming among the disciples shortly after his resurrection. They're very confused. They don't know what's happening. He comes in their midst and he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus brings peace to them. And this is also the message of Divine Mercy Sunday, as we'll see. So today, this Sunday, is also Divine Mercy Sunday. And it was, I won't go into the history of Divine Mercy, but as far as a devotion, but just one little tidbit is that it was our great patron, Pope St. John Paul II, who a Polish man himself, he popularized it. And then he instituted it as Pope. He instituted it, the feast on this day, on the second Sunday of Easter, the second Sunday of the Easter octave, because these things are so inherently connected. So this meditation, the peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins. Another fruit of peace is equilibrium of soul. Peaceful souls are neither pessimists nor neurotics. So this is one on one end of the spectrum. We've probably met people like this. Maybe we ourselves have been this, or part of ourselves are this still. Pessimists or neurotics, always focusing on what's wrong, or always looking for something to be wrong. Or neurotic, always kind of looking around the corner to see the next bad thing that's going to happen, or the next prophecy for the end of the world. That's always around the corner. So that's on the end of the spectrum. Peaceful souls are neither that, nor, on the other end, smug optimists. Everything's fine. Everything's great. You know, like the theme song of the Lego movie. Everything is awesome. No, that's not the peaceful soul. That's not the Christian soul. No, there is a realism. And so he continues, but have a wise and legitimate optimism based on the heart of Jesus. This is the key. Based on the heart of Jesus. For they know that nothing happens but what God wills. I could say this a million times. Nothing happens but what God wills. Nothing happens but what God wills. Nothing happens but what God wills. I've been blessed to study theology. Seminarians take time out of our lives to study theology full time under good professors. And it's a good thing. It's the most important study, I would say, the study of God. That's what theology means, the study of God. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing, but there is a pitfall, which is growth in pride. This can happen with any study. The more we know something, the more proud we become. Possibly that's a potential pitfall. But perhaps especially with the study of theology. You know, this is why the enemy, the devil, Lucifer, he was very intelligent. He was the smartest of the angels. But he wouldn't submit. He wouldn't serve. He wouldn't be obedient and humble before God. That's why he fell. And that's why he hates Mary. Mary did not study theology, but Mary was humble, par excellence. So the devil hates Mary, not for her knowledge, but for her humility. Okay, but we can study theology to get to know God. And one thing that budding theologians learn pretty quickly is a distinction between God's active and God's permissive will. God's active will, what he intentionally wills to happen, and permissive, what he allows to happen, right? So love, so God actively wills love and everything related to love. And God does not will evil actively, but he permits it. So it's part of his permissive will. Okay, so that's true. But that can lead us to think, oh, you know, that means that permissive will is something that I need to fight against and not see as part of God's will. And this is coming from pride. We'll see that the key of the saints is to receive everything as God's will. And as I was going through seminary, there was a phase where I was really angry, really distraught about a lot that was going on in the world and in the church and all the rest. And I'm talking to my spiritual director, and he says something to me about God's will. And I'm up there, you know, well, I'm a theologian. I know about God's active will and permissive will. And this has to do with God's permissive will. That's why I'm going to fight against it. And he looked at me and he said, for the man of faith, the distinction disappears. And I couldn't swallow that pill. That was too hard. For the man of faith, the distinction disappears. It took me another couple of years to really swallow that. And I came to do so because I saw that this is the key of the saints. And if you want to read about this, one little book, I mean, you can read any saint and you'll see this in there, but especially in a concise way, St. Alphonsus Liguori, Doctor of the Church, his little book, Uniformity with God's Will. Uniformity with God's Will. And so I started sharing with one of my classmates, Father Tim. Some of you may know him, Father Tim Siegert. And it became an inside joke, just the man of faith thing. So we talk to each other, we say, just the man of faith thing. And we know exactly what we're talking about. And last night as I was preparing this, he called me as I was preparing this. And I didn't even hear what he had to say. I just said, Father Tim, I was just thinking about you. I'm just writing into my homily notes about the man of faith thing. And he said, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I said, I know, that's the point. That's why I'm going to put it in there. The man of faith thing, to not be bogged down by this, by the distinction between active and permissive will. To receive everything as if it is coming from God, because in a sense it is. Nothing happens but what God wills. And so he continues, and that for the one who lives in faith, everything is grace, everything is love. This is an axiom of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And this priest who wrote this reflection wrote a book on her called I Believe in Love, based on St. Thérèse. But that's her whole modus operandi. The one who lives in faith, everything is grace, everything is love. Okay, so then he continues. Mild temper, forbearance, goodness, and serenity grow only in peace. See, these virtues grow only in peace. Sometimes we get the reverse. We think it's the reverse. We think we have to develop our virtues and then we'll get peace. And in a sense, that's true, or there's truth in that. As we develop our virtues, we get more peace, fine. But it comes from the peace of Jesus. It's when Jesus comes to us and stands in our midst and enters into our hearts and says to us, peace be with you. And then we receive that. Now we are allowing Jesus himself to cultivate our virtues in us. That's the soil. That's the necessary, the indispensable soil is Jesus and his peace. Once that's in place, now these virtues can develop. Mild temper, forbearance, goodness, and serenity, and all the other virtues grow only in peace. But it's not a fabricated peace. It's not something that we just will it. Oh, I'm just going to make myself be peaceful. Now remember the title. The peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins. This is Divine Mercy. This is Easter. The forgiveness of sins. Once I was called to the hospital for a hospital call, and a man was dying. He was unconscious, and the daughter called. And when I got to the hospital, she asked to talk to me in private before I went in. I said, fine. And so she begins to tell me that her father was no longer practicing the Catholic faith, and the mother considered herself very religious, but also not practicing the Catholic faith, and the three daughters are there. None of them considered themselves to be Catholic. And so they just called the priest because they were trying to give a meaningful, these were her words, a meaningful experience to her mother. And I listened, and, you know, I can... not all the time, but I can be diplomatic sometimes. And I listened and was very empathetic and realized the mourning, the grieving that she was going through, even if she didn't realize it fully. But eventually I said to her, I said, you know, I'm a Catholic priest. I'm not a dispenser of meaningful experiences. I'm here in the person of Jesus Christ to forgive this man's sins, to save his soul. That's what Jesus has come to do. And this is what I'm doing. This is what my ministry is about, as an extension, as not even as an extension, as the ministry of Jesus. And so I went into the room and talked to the wife and asked the wife, would you like me to anoint him, to give him the anointing of the sick? Because that's what the anointing of the sick is. It's the forgiveness of sins of the sick person. It may have other fruits, like healing, physical healing, that may happen sometimes. But the core of the sacraments, all sacraments, are the forgiveness of sins. And she said, yes, of course, I would love that. I would love for my husband's sins to be forgiven and for his soul to be saved. So this is the peace here. It's not a meaningful experience. It's a peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins. He continues, remember that the grace of Jesus is sufficient for you and that you will never be lacking. It is so important to find calmness right away again after each fall. With one look toward him, say to him, Jesus, one tear from your eyes, one drop of your blood on my soul, and everything will be purified, and my soul will be in peace. This is the mystery of Easter. Jesus on the cross, his blood pouring forth from his side. You may have seen images of angels or sometimes priests while celebrating Mass, holding up a chalice, catching the blood that's flowing from the side of Jesus. And now that blood gets distributed to us, mysteriously, also sacramentally, literally in the sacrament through the species of bread and wine, fine. But Jesus himself pouring out his blood for us. And in confession as well, Fulton Sheen gives us this image of when the priest puts his hand up and says, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When that hand is up, the blood of Jesus is dropping on our heads and is forgiving our sins. Then he continues, we know, says St. Paul, that to those who love God, all things work together for good. Even their sins, St. Augustine. See, we're back to this, the saints blurring, so to speak, the distinction between active and permissive will. Even their sins work together for good for those who love God. St. Augustine, these days, he is discarded or dismissed as being a pessimist. And here, this sounds all but the opposite. Even our sins, God uses for good for those who love him. See, the problem, or the not the problem of St. Augustine, the problem that people have with St. Augustine is that St. Augustine did not sugarcoat the fall. Fully aware of the fall, fully aware of sin and all of its effects, all of their consequences. And so he knew very well and was very explicit that we are totally lost by ourselves. We're wretched. We were created good, but because of the fall, we're sinners. And because we're sinners, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves, no matter how hard we try, how hard we work. We're like sinking in quicksand. And others, Pelagius and all the rest, and many others, and now New Age and secularism and everything, tries to tell us that we can save ourselves. No. We cannot save ourselves. This is why they think that St. Augustine was a pessimist, because he was so realist about our sins, our sinfulness. This is true. But this sets up this extreme optimism. The fact that God has saved us. And his salvation is accessible to us. And now that this is true, and now that we're in the Son, in our baptism, now the Father is loving us with the same love that he has for the Son. Not because we're good, but because he is good. Jesus is good. So now even our sins can be used for good. And so after each fall, we don't want to stay in that distress. We want to turn to God right away and repent. When we stay in our distress, so now he continues, trouble, sadness, and bitterness after a sin come from offended self-love. We regret less the sin as such than the fact that it humiliates us. pride. This is the source of our trouble, of our sadness, of our bitterness. And we think that we can fix ourselves so that we can no longer feel that. That's the problem. The only way out is to surrender to God, is to give Him everything. He continues, peace does not necessarily mean sensible joy. You know, I feel great pleasure, I feel consolation, or I'm elated all the time. No, that's not peace. And also, the goal is not peace. The goal is Jesus. When we have Jesus as the goal, He comes into our midst and He gives us His peace. Peace be with you. But that's not our goal. The goal is Jesus. He continues, but it is the happiness of Him. Peace does not necessarily mean sensible joy, but it is the happiness of Him who knows where He is, where He ought to be, and who asks for nothing but what He has, who is always joyous because Jesus, who is all His joy, is always with Him. The key is Jesus. He knows where He is, where He ought to be. Why? Because He's with Jesus. He knows, He asks for nothing but what He has. Why? Because He has Jesus. Listen to how St. Alphonsus Liguori again puts it. God did not wish to give us only beautiful creatures, all the things that God has given us. To win for Himself our love, He went so far as to bestow upon us the fullness of Himself. The Eternal Father went so far as to give us His only Son. By giving us His Son, He bestowed on us at once every good, grace, love, and heaven. For all these goods are certainly inferior to the Son. Do you hear that? Even heaven is inferior to the Son. And the Father has already given us the Son. There is nothing that God can give us in the future that is better than the Son. Nothing. Not even our sanctification. We can make even that into an idol. So this is the gift of Easter and the gift of divine mercy, is to receive Jesus and the peace that comes from Him. If this all sounds too abstract, I'll read a paragraph from an email that I received yesterday or the day before, and I asked for their permission. I had shared this reading with this person, a parishioner, and she later wrote me an email and asked her for permission to share some of it, and here it is. She has shared that she has a lot of anxiety, especially anxiety about getting sick. And she said, all that together, the reading and all the rest, all that together brought another piece of the puzzle into place. I already knew God gives Himself to us, particularly in the Eucharist, and love to think about how He is giving us His heart. But it never really clicked, I guess. So I was thinking about how He doesn't just give us peace or joy. He gives us Himself, which is perfect peace and joy. He is the perfection of all of that. So all this time I've been thinking I'm asking for peace and joy and not recognizing I already have Him. So it all got me thinking how I already have the greatest treasure. What more could I want? Or what can I possibly be afraid of? It made me understand some of the Psalms better. And this will make you understand everything better. All of the saints, all of the Psalms, entire scripture, everything. But the amazing thing is all my anxiety about possibly moving has melted away. And I was even able to go out to dinner without worrying about getting sick, which is really rare for me. The peace that comes from Jesus, the peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins. And this is the truth. Jesus has given and is always giving Himself to us fully, every moment of every day. And He's about to do it again in a special, heightened, sacramental way, right here in the Holy Eucharist.